You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Parshas Vayichi, Tavshin Ayin Zayin. Going to learn a little bit, short vor in the Pasha, as we do every week. But as we know, this shir, which is going on now for a few years in different locations, is based on the shirim that I heard and I learned from Gaon Rav Moshe Shapira, Seichet Tzadik, Kodesh Livrocha. First time in shir that we have to switch it from the Brocha Sheichye to a Zikaron. We'll start with a part that Rav Moshe taught us. It has to do with what Parshas Vayichi is all about. The Rashi says at the beginning of the Pasha, Lama Pasha Zu Stuma. The Pasha of Vayichi is Sosum, meaning there's no separation, there's no lines in between Pasha Vayichi and Pasha the Pasha before Pasha Vayigash. So Rashi says two explanations. One, Kivayet Shenifte Yaakov Avinu Nistemu Einem Ve'libin Shri Yisrael Mitzoras Hashibut. It was terrible. Yaakov was nifter, and Tzoras began. So it's a stima. The eyes were shut off because of the Tzoras. Dover Acher, explanation number two. Shebikesh lekalas et haketz levonov nistaymeni. He wanted to reveal the ketz when Mashiach comes, and it was concealed from him, as we'll see in a second in the Gemara. The Medrash tells us a third explanation. The Medrash tells us another reason why Parsha Zustuma. Why is it there's no separation? Because the tzaras of Yaakov Avinu ended when he came to Mitzrayim. We know that Yaakov Avinu, his whole life was full of tzaras. Now they came to Mitzrayim, Yichi Yaakov, all the tzaras nistimud tzarosof. Which is a pele. The steam of the Pasha comes out to be two things that seem to be contradicting each other. Either the steam is because of all the tzaras, all the terrible tragedies that happened, so it's tzosum to symbolize the terrible things that happened to Avraham Mitzrayim, or it's the opposite. It's to symbolize how the tzaras ended to Yaakov Avinu. The same stima of the two parashas seems to be to indicate two opposite things. How do we understand that? So going into the idea of Yikish Yaakov Legal Saketz, it says in the Gemara tells us the story that happened in. The Gemara says, what happened to Yaakov and Bikish Kazakets? It says, Vayomayasu Vagidu Lachem Bikish Yaakov, the God of one of Kates Hayom, Yaakov wanted to reveal the end of the days. Finistal Kavimenu Shechino. Shechino left him. Omar, Shema Chas Vesholem Yish Vimitosi Psul. Maybe I have one of my children is not right. Like Avraham Avinu, like Yitzchok. Maybe something's wrong with my children. So I can't reveal the case, even though I want to reveal it, I'm not able to, because my mitos is not shleima, my bed is not full, my kids are not 100%. Omuli bono shma Yisrael, Hashem elokeinu Hashem echad. Listen, our father, or Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, our Eloiki, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, we believe in Hashem. There's nothing to worry about. Omu kishem she'im belib chalecho, the same way you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kach ein belibeinu elechot, so we don't have only echad in our heart. And that's what we have in our Shema. We say Baruch Shem, as the Gemara goes on and says. So ask Rav Moshe, Zechet Tzadik Yivrocha, what is the answer of the Gemara? The Gemara said, Yaakov Avinu wanted to say the case. He's telling Kabinu Shechina, Shechina left him. So he was afraid. Maybe something's wrong with my children. The children said, there's nothing wrong with us. So Yaakov Avinu said, Baruch Shem Kvayim Chusei Lomvet. One second, what about the gates? So why wasn't he able to reveal the gates? He thought the reason was because maybe it's Psul Bezara. Now that he finds out there's no Psul Bezara, so go ahead and reveal the gates. What is missing? What's the problem? So, this Gemara doesn't make any, what's the Gemara telling us? As Kedarikor, Moshe taught us, something in the depth of the Gemara, just to understand the push of Shat, he said, what does it mean? Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the end of the days. So push of Shat, most people understand, Yaakov Avinu wanted to go ahead and give a date when Mashiach is going to come. It's going to come in this and this date. But if you think about it, it doesn't really make sense. It wasn't Nistalka Minu Shechina. He forgot. So if you would write it on a piece of paper, he wouldn't forget. You know, he lost his memory for a second. But that snapshot in Yaakov Avinu, Nistalka Minu Shechina, he lost his memory. Because Yaakov got us a case, Pshat is, and that's also as Mavur in Talmud Yerushalmi, the Targum Yerushalmi over here in Chumash, Yaakov wanted to make it clear where we're going to. We go throughout the Golus, throughout the Tzoras, things don't seem to add up. Why is this thing happening to this person? Why is this thing happening to Am Yisrael? Why are there so many Tzoras? We know that eventually Mashiach is coming. But why? Where is it? What's the direction? How are we going? Where are things leading to? Because Yaakov legalos is a case, is not to reveal a date. Legalos means to reveal it, to make it goal, to make it obvious what's the process. We would figure out, we'll look around and say, oh, of course, I mean, Yaakov is doing this to this person, this to us, to Am Yisrael, this is what's happening because this will add up to be that. We will figure out what is the Malach. That's what Yaakov tried to reveal to Am Yisrael. What is, where things are going? What's the flow? So he thought maybe it's a psul bizarri. The kid said it's not. So Yaakov said, so Kishbul is trying to give me a different message. What's the message? Bedavka, things need to be hidden. Bedavka, the kates, Mashiach, cannot be revealed. You have to have, in this world, needs to be covered. Needs to be concealed. And we have to go and search for it, and yearn for it, and aspire to get to the Kates without knowing where we're going exactly. Things have to be nister. Things have to be covered. That's what Yaakov Avinu answered. Baruch Shem Kfoi Malchus Lo'ilom Void. So as Nefesh HaChaim says, when it says Baruch Shem, Baruch means the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be revealed more and more forever. Meaning as we go forward, there will be more and more revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. That's what we call Yichud et Chato, we once spoke about, meaning that if things are being are covered right now, and eventually they will be revealed more and more. But right now, things have to be concealed. Things have to be nister. Things cannot be obvious on the surface. Based on that, that's maybe the Pshat also, in these two, and when the Medrash says, the two opposite Pshat, Lama Nistama Parsha. The Stimus of Parsha, the fact that the Parsha is Sosum, in fact, the parsha is there's no separation between Vayigash and Vayichi. Can either mean that there's a lot of tzaras coming, or it can mean also that there's a big geula coming. Because the idea is things are sosum, or unclear. Things are unclear on the surface, they look terrible. But in depth, if you yearn and you look for it, that really leads to geula. The stima saparsha tells you when things are not understood. Things don't make sense. They look bad. There's tzaras over here. But in depth, that's the geula coming. It's part of the cheshbon. You have to yearn for that. Rav Moshe always connected this idea, the concept that Ramchal calls it Inyan HaKivui. Kivui is Lashon Tikva, Lashon Hope. The fact that you have to hope, you have to wait, you have to yearn for geula. The fact that we call one of the questions that are asked the person when he after his ptira, he goes up to Shemaim, and he's asked, Tzipisa LeYeshua. Did you wait? Did you yearn for Yeshua? Tzipisa LeYeshua, do you look for it? Because things are hidden. But you have to look, you have to search underneath the surface and wait for Mashiach to come. And that's what we say, every time in davening, L'Shoascha Kivinu Kol Hayom. We always are mekaveh, always hoping for the things which are under surface to be revealed. But what we have in this world is a time where things are covered, things are nister. I'm not really to say a hesped on the Rebbe, Reb Moshe Shapira. As we mentioned, the shir is based in shirim. So I mean, a roi to at least try to share with the olam, but maybe one aspect of what Reb Moshe taught us. As Talmidim, as young Talmidim, what we saw, what was very apparent in what Reb Moshe did. And if after one nekuda, which is so clear in Reb Moshe's Mahalach, was the idea of the Seser, how things are hidden, things are not revealed. His whole life was a life of going around, and what he taught, what he did, what he showed, and how he communicated was all besaser, was all covered, was under the surface. Things were not apparent. Just in his day-to-day life, for many years, nobody knew who Rav Moshe really was. Obviously, he had a few talmidim that were close to him for all these years. But in general, when I was a bacher, I would go in the street in Yerushalayim, say that I hear shirim from Rav Moshe Shapira. They would say, Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapira? Who's Rav Moshe Shapira? Nobody knew who he was. And when my uncle Ari, through my father, they decided to help Rav Moshe for him to just go from place to place to give his shirim. Rav Moshe, until then, used to go to give all his shirim, all of Eretz Yisrael. He would use a bus. Go on a bus and travel from place to place. And when they told him, let's get you somebody to take you around, he said, Rav Shlomo Zalman used to use a bus, I'll use a bus as well. There was no chashivas to what he did. Nobody knew. It wasn't a big publicity, I'm going to give a shir. He was going on a bus, like a regular yid. That's what he did. When they gave him finally convinced him, it didn't make any sense anymore, he had all the shirim added, he was getting older and older, they got for him a driver to take him around, suddenly they found out that he was giving 40 shirim a week. Every week he had 40 shirim. It's approximately 7 shirim a day, or from place to place. But until that time, most people didn't know. Some people know about this shir over there, this shir over there. Nobody knew the extent to what he was doing for Am Yisrael. His whole mahalach was mahalach of seser. He didn't reveal himself. He didn't go around publicizing anything. He did not. He hated, and he could not stand any type of publicity. And once there was an article written about him in a newspaper. Many years later, he was so upset, was so angry that they mentioned, they spoke about him. It's not a pierce. It's not something you go ahead and you reveal to people. Things up to his life is a seser, it's minister, it's underneath the surface. Not something he wants to reveal to other people. Remember, we found out about his talmidim just a few years ago. I think the Rebbetzin told one of the talmidim, and then it became all famous and was confirmed this week in the Shiva house. The Rav Moshe did not sleep in a bed, at least during the week, for many, many years. He would fall asleep on the couch. One of the Menachem came to the Shiva house and asked the children, children, when did your father go to sleep? Did he go to sleep late? Did he go to sleep early? Did he wake up early? What did he do? So they started laughing. They said they never saw him going to bed. Usually you'd fall asleep on the couch learning and get up and continue learning. But nobody knew that. Nobody knew exactly what he was doing. Nobody knew the extent of how much learning he was doing. The fact that he would sleep maybe 2 hours a day and learn the whole time. He would see him, he would go out, give shurim, he would travel, and the whole time he was learning. Once he was in the plane with my cousin, and my cousin said they were going from Eretz Yisrael to New York, a 12-hour flight, and my cousin got off, fell asleep, and Moshe was the whole time sitting with a sefer and learning. That's what he was doing, the whole flight, for 12 hours. He had the kishmaket of being alone in a plane where nobody can see him and nobody can disturb him. He can be in himself, the seser. That was his life. It was a life of being nister. Another thing that just set it out in the Shiva house was the fact the kids were saying when Moshe was young and he had to take care of the kids. He had to dress them, feed them. He was a father like any other father. So his kids said they realized that he would be mumbling in his mouth while he was taking care of them. He was mumbling with Divrei Torah. But as they grew up, they realized he stopped mumbling. He trained himself more and more, the pashto, that's how we understand it, to just think and learn, and be able to focus in thinking, even while he was doing other things. He made it even more besesa. Even his kids could not realize what he's thinking and learning or not. It was not something he came out to put out in front of everybody else.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.
He couldn't stand any chitzonis, anything which did not have any depth into it, to have any oimik. Can I have oimik, can I have depth? So it didn't mean anything. I remember I called him up. It was Vav Nisan Tavshanayin Dalet. I remember that date. It was the date. It was my 10-year anniversary. It was right after Moshe got sick for the first time. He didn't give shirim for most of the winter. And it was the first time I spoke to him on the phone after about 6 months. So it was a very special moment. We had a long conversation. In the conversation, I told him, you know, Rebbe, it's Vov Nissan Tavshin Ayin Dav. It's exactly 10 years from my marriage. It's 10-year anniversary. The Rebbe was, he was Mesal Kiddushin in my wedding. It's 10-year anniversary. So his response was, so? What does 10-year anniversary mean? And this is something for, you know, especially for an American crowd, it's very hard to understand. For me too. Do we have any significance with 10? It's a symbol, it's a number, it's a 10 years. But does it mean anything to you more? If it means to you something, then adarabah. But if it's just a number, so then there's no significance, no oimik to it. If it's not, nothing in the depth, in the seiser, so there's nothing, so there's no nothing special there. Obviously, we're talking about the shirim, especially this year, which is based on his Torah. What Rav Moshe did in the Torah, what Moshe gave to the world, what Rav Moshe taught us, everyone, is how the depth of Torah, have every sentence in Torah, have every sentence Chazal taught us, has a depth into it. You know, main domain of what the Maharal did, the Maharal's main job, main goal in all his Torah, is to show that Chazal have unbelievable depth, and every meir of Chazal means something very deep. That's what Rav Moshe went and did too. In this generation, every shtickel agadata, every shtickel chazal that we have, things that seem to be very simple, story in Chumash, story in Navi, seem to be something, okay, it is what it is. The way we learn in kindergarten. He went in and taught them so much more to it. There's so much seiser to it, so much underneath the surface, and that's what you have to explore and look for it. When I started learning with him, he told me, when you learn a Gadata, you have to learn it the same way you learn Hilchasa. You have to try and understand. Ask the questions. Try to figure out. If it doesn't make sense, add it up. That's how you learn Gadata. That's what he gave to the world. The fact that today you go to yeshivas, you see, you hear in your light, they're sitting and saying Shtilat Torah and a Gadata. That your yeshiva bochim doing it, Rosh HaKoyelim, it's around the world. That's one of the big contributions that Rav Moshe gave to the world. That he made it a public thing, that you go ahead and you dwell into the Torah, into things which seem to be very simple or don't make so much sense, to try to figure what they are. That every agadah, every piece the Chazal gave us has a seiser, has something underneath it. Obviously, he himself, which we can't even speak about what he was because it's not in our level, but he was referring to in his Torah to the Sisri Torah. And the more we learned, the Talmidim learned more and more, we saw that every shir that he said, the most simplest shir that he gave, really he referred to the most deepest things that they were in Chazal and Sfarim HaKadoshim. Everything was mentioned. Everything was connected to the Seisit, to what's underneath the surface. That's what the Torah was. And he educated Talmidim, he educated everyone he taught to, that Torah, the whole concept of Torah is the depth of Torah. And if you don't have connection to the depth of Torah, say in Agata or in Yichasa, so it's really not worth what. One of the sentences that I heard from him many times was, he said in Hebrew, Limud she'en bo kinyan, hu kim'at bizbuzman. A learning that you don't comprehend anything. A learning that you don't have anything in your hand afterwards. Right. You have a kinyan in it for later, so it's almost a waste of time. And he was referring to when you're learning shidchis, when you're learning without having the depth, so you learn it, the next day you forget it. So there's no kinyan over here. It's basically almost a waste of time. It's not a full waste of time, but it's close to a waste of time if you don't have a kinyan in Torah. He would tell a lot of Balabatim not to learn Daf Yomi. Some people that learn with him Daf Yomi. There was one Balabas that I heard personally from him, that he went. He was learning Daf Yomi for many years, and he asked Rav Moshe Hadrocha for himself. Obviously, each person has his own way to do. He told him, "Should I stop it?" And he told him, "Stop learning Daf Yomi and learn Biyun." And this guy was learning Daf Yomi for years at Chabura, and he left everything to learn Biyun to listen to Rav Moshe. That's what he taught us. Everything has a depth. You need to try to be me'ayin, to go underneath the surface, to go in the seiser. That's what Torah is all about. And in general, his hanaga with Talmidim, the hanaga with Talmidim, with people that are close to him, was all a concept of Seser. It was all things that are not, he didn't, it wasn't out there. You need to be, you need to have that relationship underneath the surface. First, to get a shaykhus with the Ramosha, it wasn't that anybody who came, he right away accepted him and got him. He wasn't looking for people to be his Talmidim. Anybody who wanted to get close to him needed to work very hard. The first ones, the first few times that any person went to him and started asking questions, he would basically give him like a very simple answer and let him go. It wasn't, in order to really have a shaykhus, the person had to yearn for it. Had to have a tzipisali Yeshua to get to close to him, it was avoda. It was the, you had to work in depth to try to get there. It wasn't a simple thing. But when a person got close to him, the anhaga of Rav Moshe was, he never ran after people. He was leading b'seisa underneath the surface. But anybody who came to him for Hadracha, it was one of the most special moments for anybody who got close to him, to be with him one-on-one and ask him an Eitzah. The way he took something, and he dwelled into it, and figured out what to do, how to do. Anything in life. I mean, I personally went through every big crossroad that I had when Moshe was involved. He asked him, yeshivas and shidduchim, the children, moving, everything. Anything that happened was a question to Moshe, and he went into it, and dwelled into it, and he figured it out, what to do. So he did the oymik and giving aids. But afterwards, as my father just mentioned today, some talmidim felt a little bit, that after Ramosha, they gave the whole sorrow to Ramosha, told him a whole story, they left, and then there was no feedback. He didn't run after him to try to figure out what's going on with his talmid. Because that was his anaga. His anaga was b'seisa. So if you come and ask a question, I'll come and I'll answer you. If you're right now, you're on your own, so now on your own. It's not something, well, you're not the one running after talmidim to figure out what everybody's doing and showing, say, oh, I'm top of you, I know what you're doing. But l'maisa, he always knew. The seisa, he always knew what every talmid does. Remember that I came to him once after I moved to America, and he was talking to him about some subject, and I told him that, you know, there's, that, so I'm giving a shiur here, I'm giving a shiur there, I'm doing this and that. He said, I know. So I was surprised, and I didn't tell him. He knew. His talmidim, he knew exactly what they were doing. He was on top of them, he was on top of the situation, following each one, but again, b'seisa, nobody knew that he knew. Nobody knew what he was doing. One of the big challenges being with Rav Moshe was that you need to know to be silent. There were times that you sat with Rav Moshe, sat with the Rebbe for many hours, for a long time, many hours, and there was no word said. He could have, his anhaga was an anhaga b'seisa. You don't have to speak every time. You don't have to say something every time. If there's nothing to be said, or it's appropriate time now to be quiet, so now you can be tough. He was very comfortable in sitting down in silence. It could be a drive going from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak for 45 minutes. He would be very comfortable if nobody said a word the whole way. Being with his own. He always spoke about that one of the tragedies of this generation is that you always have to communicate. A person cannot be with his own. He said one of the terrible things, if you put a person in a deserted island, he's not going to survive for too long. He's going to go crazy. He's all by himself. He used to say in the name of Salim Slabotka, Alvin Slabotka, that a person has the depth in him. He should be able to be on his own, to be living on his own. Moshe was once somebody that didn't have to communicate the whole time. He didn't have to talk. He could have been Mishtika. That's what he had. And in general, he did not reveal things which were not, that were not, there was no need for that. All the things that he communicated and talked was always whatever was needed. And if he felt this is not something I need to talk about, then we can speak about it. Just a simple example. Once I came with my father to visit him, and we spoke, and he did, and we left. Later, my father met his brother, my uncle. He was also very close to Rav Moshe. And he asked him, he told him, I visited Rav Moshe today. He said, yes, I did too. What time were you there? Well, it turned out to be that my uncle was 10 minutes before my father came. He was in the room with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe didn't find any need to tell him, oh, by the way, your brother was just here 10 minutes ago. There's no need to say it. It's not part. There's no benefit in saying that. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe the brother wanted to be there on his own. He added something to ask. He didn't want anybody to know about it. If there's something that was not supposed to be said, he didn't say it. The anhaga of Rav Moshe, Tzai, when he with the Talmidim, sign his own personal life. Sign with the Torah that he taught was all besesim, it was all the divinity service. Nothing was gold. Nothing was out there. And this is what he left, what he taught us, and was telling the entire world. The tendency of those people, what we see in the world, is to be out there, to make sure that wherever we do, everybody knows about it. Especially in today's day and age, everybody needs to know what everybody's doing every second. But the Hanhaga, what Moshe taught us was, the Seisim, what Yaakovinu said, when you have the Stima Saparsha, things have to be Dafka, not everything has to be revealed. Adrabah, part of the Avodah is to work when things are now revealed, when things seem to be leaked, seem to be covered, seem to be unclear. Obviously, we'll end by saying one of the things which are unclear to us, Talmidim, is the fact that Moshe left us so early. He just a few months ago, he was in his prime. We were together with him in Prague just a few months ago. He was giving shiurim, he was gevaldik. He was b'sii koichel. And suddenly he's gone. And for us, Talmidim, anybody who heard from him and he was close to him, that's Stima Sapasha. It's when Nistimu Inem the Lidin Shel Yisrael. We can't figure out what it is. But we know that the other side of the coin of the Stima Sapasha is that all the Tzoros are also finished. And through the Seisir, we get to the Geula. And through, hopefully through what Moshe left for us, we'll be able to take that and go to the next level, next Mechayel Chayel, at B.S. Gerl Tzayim Yer Yameinu, Mocha Hashem and Akim Dimu Mel Kopal Bonim Mer Yameinu Amin.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.